Today, as Kim shared, is our final episode, Christ, We Adore You. And I'm going to pull up the keynote here. And all right, we did all those announcements. Did that, we prayed. Jesus, our chief cornerstone. The text that we're going to read is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 22. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So this is the final episode of our series, Christ, We Adore Thee. And the purpose of our series was to help all of us see Jesus with greater clarity. Also to gain an understanding of the nature of Christ as explained in the New Testament. I think as we see Christ more clearly, and as we grow in our understanding of his nature and character, we definitely will grow in our adoration of him. And I also believe that the people who ought to have the most clear picture of Jesus are the members of his body. The people who should adore Christ the most should be his followers. We certainly cannot expect the outside world to understand Christ better than we do. And I think every Christian must actively engage in the work of seeing Christ with greater clarity and in the pursuit of developing a greater understanding of him. Now, none of us can ever say, I know Christ completely. And so I hope this series has been an inspiration for you personally to continue to grow in your knowledge of our Savior. In the text that we looked at, in Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 22, Paul explains that Jesus is God's agent of peace, whose purpose is to bring humanity together under God's household. Okay? He spoke about the dividing wall of hostility. He spoke about there being a conflict between Jew and Gentile in the ancient world. And he says that Jesus is the agent of peace to bring both Jew and Gentile together, to remove their hostility so that they can learn to live together in peace in one household. But he also says something that is very important to us. And this is the part that we're going to really sink our teeth into. He said that the church, God's household, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Right? And from there, we get the title of today's sermon, Christ, Our Chief Cornerstone. Now, the Apostle Paul is going back to building practices of the ancient world. The cornerstone was a huge slab of stone that was the centerpiece of great buildings. Now, we don't use cornerstones like the way they used them in the ancient world. But everything depended on that cornerstone, because the mason would align all his bricklaying based on where that cornerstone was laid, so that the mason would be able to build a straight wall up as opposed to a wall that is leaning or diverging away from the cornerstone. There's another concept in the text that Paul talks about, because the cornerstone also joined two separate walls together to make sure that those walls did not collapse. And if you ever had the privilege of watching a builder lay a foundation for a house, you will notice that as the foundation is being laid, that there are steel bars that are used to join these walls together. It's a very complicated and time-consuming process. I had the privilege of watching a builders lay a foundation in a house right next to where I lived in Trinidad, and that foundation took months to lay. The apostle Paul said, the house that we live in, the temple that we live in, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so it's important to know that the teachings of the apostles are also elevated in this passage. So not only do we need to understand Jesus being the chief cornerstone, but we also must know and submit to and understand the teachings of the apostles. The apostles played a very crucial role in establishing the first century church. Many people are aware of the teachings of Jesus. I myself, when I was a young man, I would read the Gospels, but I never really felt that the teachings of the apostles were worth my time and effort. According to this passage, the entire temple that God has been building is built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The idea that Jesus is the chief cornerstone is rooted in Old Testament scripture. Psalm 118, and it's interesting that Kim read from this psalm, is known as a messianic psalm, because a messianic psalm is one that points to or has something in there that is pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And in Psalm 118, verses 17 to 24, it reads this. It says this: I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. So did you see what it said there in verse 22? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. That verse is pointing directly to Jesus the Messiah, naming him as the cornerstone. Amen? This idea of Jesus being the cornerstone is also found in Isaiah's writing. And in Isaiah 28, verse 16, reads this. It says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." Amen. Who was it who laid the stone? God. God is saying, I did that. I'm the one who did that. And what the stone that God lays, who tries to remove it? Not I. It is a tested stone, meaning it can stand whatever is put against it. A precious cornerstone, meaning it is of high value. A precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. One of the things about homes is that from time to time, the earth moves underneath it. And the worst thing a homeowner wants to see is a cracked foundation. How many of you guys have had to deal with a cracked foundation? Raise your hand. It is a pain, isn't it? Because you have to either raise the house and do something. That foundation, the earth beneath it is moving. And if you don't fix that cracked foundation, what do you think will happen? Your whole house will split apart. Jesus is a sure foundation. It is not going to crack. It will not move. Nothing can alter it. We have to make sure that our faith is standing upon that sure foundation. Jesus refers to this psalm in an encounter with the chief priests and teachers of the law. We're going to read that encounter in Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. He tells a parable, and then after speaking that parable, he quotes Psalm 118. "Listen to another parable," Jesus says. "There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants, they beat one, they killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. 'They will respect my son,' he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance.' So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end,' they replied. 'And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time.' Jesus said to them, Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable. They knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. That is in Matthew 21, 33 to 46. I encourage you to go home and read it on your own. Jesus told this parable and quoted Psalm 118 in response to a question asked by the chief priest. And what was the question that they asked? It said, when Jesus entered the temple courts, he was teaching. The chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you doing these things? That's what they asked him. They questioned Jesus' authority. They didn't mind if he was out there healing people. They didn't mind if he was out there doing miracles. They didn't mind if he was out there teaching. But they had a problem with his authority. Similarly to us, we love it when Jesus is healing and teaching and doing all these miracles, walking on the water. We love it. But the moment Jesus intervenes in our life, the moment he exerts his authority on our life, that's when we have a problem. And the chief priests and the elders were saying, "Who made you the boss of me? Who made you the boss of me? By what authority are you doing these things?" And that is a problem that is deeply embedded in the human condition. We want our freedom. We want to do what we want to do. Don't get in my way. I'm free. Jesus said this to them. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Now, for sure, he's talking to the chief priests and the teachers of the law because they're challenging him. For sure, he's talking to them. But he is revealing something that applies to us. You see, there's really only two things that can happen when it comes to the teachings of Jesus. Either we're going to be broken or we'll be crushed. Because he says, anyone who falls on this stone, referring to himself, will be broken to pieces. And anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. So either you can fall on the stone, it'll hurt, you'll be broken to pieces, but you can be put back together. The other option is to ignore the cornerstone and say, you ain't the boss of me. You could choose to do that if you wish. But there will come a time, whether you believe it or not, that that very cornerstone that you chose to avoid will fall on you and you will be crushed. Which one do you prefer? The choice is really yours. You, each one of us, have full control over our spiritual outcome. And Jesus is saying, you can either fall on the stone and be broken, or it will fall on you and you'll be crushed. What is it about Jesus that breaks us? What is it? This nice guy? I mean, you talk about a guy who helped people, who healed people, who made the blind see. What is it about Jesus that breaks us? Well, I'll tell you what I think is that Jesus is both inclusive and exclusive. And we like one part of that, the inclusivity, but we don't like the other part. Look at what he says, and we love this. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, don't you love that? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Is anybody feeling weary right now? Anybody feeling burdened? Jesus said, come. It's an open invitation. Anybody can come. Who doesn't want rest for their soul? I mean, you know, the medical profession, they can give you rest for your body. They can prescribe medication to help your body heal. But who's going to give you rest for your soul? Jesus says, come to me. But then he also says, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, you might think that I just typed that in there. You may really think, man, that guy, that cannot be in the Bible. What is this? If anyone comes to me and does not hate? No, can't be. Cannot be. Hate his father and mother? His wife? Jesus actually saying you have to hate your wife. Your children? How can we hate our children? It's all about the kids, isn't it? You have to hate your brothers and sisters? Well, some of us have no problem doing that. That's really easy for some of us. You go, check, I'm doing that right now. Even my own life? Now, okay, I know some of you may be seeing this for the first time. Write down Luke 14, 25 to 27. Go home, get a Bible, and you check it out for yourself. I promise you, I did not write that in there this morning. This is the part of Jesus we do not like. We don't want this part. We don't want Jesus making demands on us, laying out terms and conditions. We don't want that. Who made you the boss of me? We want to follow Jesus on our terms. We want to do what we feel like doing. This is deeply embedded embedded in the human condition. Jesus says, if you are not willing to follow on his terms, you cannot be his disciples. This is the exclusivity of the Messiah. And some of us look at that teaching and you go, not me. I'm going to walk around that foundation. That is your choice. You're free to choose. But it is teachings like this that you walk away from that will come back to crush you. Even today, Jesus' teachings are a stumbling block to people. You think they were just a stumbling block in the first century? They're a stumbling block today. How can you say hate your wife? How can you say hate your mother? Mother's Day is in May. We have a hard time with these teachings. And because we don't want to wrestle with it, because we don't humble ourselves and ask, what does this mean? How do I apply? We tend to run away from things that we don't understand. So I appeal to you to make every effort to be sure that Christ is a cornerstone of your spiritual foundation. Man, we live in a world, there's so much out there. I mean, we're exposed to all kinds of teachings on the internet, on podcasts, on YouTube. Some of the teachings that we are exposed to in the society that we live in bear no resemblance to the foundation that was laid by Jesus and the apostles. Bear no resemblance at all. But yet people have established churches and have established great traditions. And they have their own teachings, their own ideologies, their own version, their own interpretation, which does not resemble what we read in the New Testament. And we are all exposed to these teachings one way or another. Make every effort to be sure that Christ is the cornerstone of your spiritual foundation. So when we read a passage like Luke 14 that we just read, don't try to minimize it. Don't try to put marshmallows around it and soften it up for people. Who's given us the authority to soften up a teaching of the Messiah? Who softens a cornerstone? How dare we try to interpret the teachings of Jesus so that people like it? Who told us to do that? Who laid the cornerstone? God himself. Here's what Colossians says. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Why would Paul write that to the Colossian church? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive thinking that depends on what the world thinks as opposed to the cornerstone, Jesus. Why would he tell them? Because even then, they were wandering away. They were questioning, this teaching is kind of radical. This teaching seems like extremist teachings. Who can accept this? You fall on it and be broken to pieces, or it will land on you and be crushed. You know that the King James Version says, The stone will land on you and it will grind you to a powder. Right? Grinding to a powder. Till there's nothing there but powder. And what is it about Jesus that grinds us to a powder? The fact that we reject his teaching. That's what it is. Brothers and sisters and friends, make no mistake. Christ is our chief cornerstone. He is a tested stone. He is a precious stone. God laid Jesus exactly where he needs to be. We've got to do our job to make sure that our life is aligned with his teaching. And we got to do that work, brothers and sisters, every single day. Every day. To make sure that our personal decisions are lining up with the decisions that Jesus wants us to make so that he can always be and always remain our chief cornerstone. And one day when we see him, we will say, Christ, man, I didn't understand everything. Boy, and those people, when I was broken up, it really hurt me. But man, you were right all along. And Christ, we do adore you. Amen. Amen. At this time,